Some years ago, an advertising campaign was run which involved challenging various celebrities to describe Christmas in three words. Here are some of their suggestions. Eating too much. Morecambe and Wise. You'll only get that one if you're British and of a certain age, if you're not, ask someone else to explain it. Filling a stocking. The Queen's Speech. Again, you'll need to know the background for that one. Last minute shopping. What would you have suggested? Well, there you are. That's an idea if you're at a loss sometime in the middle of the afternoon after lunch is finished and you're not watching the Queen's Speech, you could do that as a game. Describe Christmas in three words. But what about Christ is born? Where does he fit in? So it's very easy to get caught up in all the busyness of Christmas and to forget what we're supposed to be celebrating. The Bible tells us that the coming of Jesus is an event of massive significance for each one of us, because it's all about God's dealings with all of us who live in this world that he has made. And this morning I want to summarize what the Bible teaches about Christmas in three words. And my three words are historical, joyful, and essential. Historical, joyful, and essential. So let's look at the first word. The first word, Christmas, is historical. A traditional British Christmas is made up of a recipe that has a real mixture of ingredients. A recipe that, so the tradition goes, if you cook them all together well, they all blend together to produce a delightful feeling that leaves you sort of comfortable, with a warm, happy glow, a feeling of well-being. It leaves you feeling that immortal word, Christmassy. But the effect of all that is that we don't stop and look at the individual ingredients. We just sort of blend them all together, and our focus is on the overall impression. Sure, if we pause and we think, some of the ingredients, some of them have got something to do with Jesus Christ. A lot of the carols have, for instance, the nativity play. But they all get mixed up in this recipe. They all get mixed up in our mind with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Christmas trees, stuffing. And the result is a blur. We assume that the whole thing is just tradition, that there is no real basis in history. But hold on a minute. The message of the angels to the shepherds was this: for unto you is born this day. Christmas is about a real birth that took place on a particular day. It's history. Did you notice in the first reading we had that Luke the writer was very careful to give precise historical details? He didn't start once upon a time, long, long ago, in a place far away. No. He didn't start like that. He starts, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, in case you get it confused with the second one, when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David. This is history. Jesus really was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger because there was no room in the inn. And he then grew up to be, without any shadow of doubt, the most remarkable person ever to walk this planet. One writer puts it well. He says, I quote, this is from a poem that was written about 90 years ago. I'm far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, and all the navies that ever sailed, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon earth as much as has that one solitary life. There has never been anyone like Jesus. He lived a life of astonishing humility. He was always serving others. He was kind. He was compassionate. He showed no favoritism. He dealt gently with rich and poor, men and women, with all nationalities. He taught amazing things. And yet, gentle and humble as he was not afraid to stand up and denounce hypocrisy, particularly the hypocrisy of those who claimed to be religious, but were greedy, selfish, and proud. He did amazing miracles, miracles that even his enemies couldn't deny happened. He just spoke a word, and the blind saw, the lame walked, even the dead were raised. Yet many of the religious leaders of the day felt threatened by his teaching and his popularity, and they succeeded in manipulating the Roman governor to have him convicted on a trumped-up charge of plotting rebellion against the emperor. At the age of 33, he was crucified. But that was not the end of him. For God raised him from the dead physically. He was seen by many people. His followers went round the Roman Empire proclaiming this fact, even though it cost some of them their lives to do so. Jesus is no ordinary man. Jesus isn't a mythical figure. He really existed. Christmas is historical. It really happened. So that's the first word. But so what, you might say, 1066 was historical, but it doesn't affect my life today. At least I don't think it does. Well, that brings us to the second word. Christmas is joyful. See, is Christmas good news? You may have been brought up in a stable and loving family. You may have many happy memories of Christmas. But many are not so blessed. And for many, many people, Christmas is a very difficult time. For many, it means succumbing to the pressure to spend money that they haven't got on things that they don't need. A newspaper article one Christmas commented that 4 million adults were still paying off their debts from the previous Christmas. And that was before the recession really began to bite. One little girl wrote to her granny, "Thank you very much for the nice gloves you sent me for Christmas. They were something I wanted, but not very much." One poll suggested that there are 3 million family rows each Christmas. And a newspaper article headed "Enough to Drive You Crackers" spoke of people cracking up at Christmas as a result of the pressure to be perfect. If you're the chief cook today, I trust it is going to be absolutely perfect, or you will be a failure. So is Christmas good news? Well, the secular side of Christmas may not be, but the Christian message about the birth of Jesus is good news. The message of Christmas is not just historical, it is truly joyful. Because in the second reading we had, we heard the angel's message to the shepherds, and this brings us to the two verses particularly looking at. "Fear not," this is 2 verse 10, "for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people." But where is the joy? Sure, the birth of a baby is a joyful event for the family involved and their friends. But it's hard to get excited about a birth in another part of the world that took place 2,000 years ago. Where's the joy? Why should we rejoice at the birth of Jesus of Nazareth? Well, the angel carries on the next verse. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." The joy lies in who Jesus is. He is Christ the Lord. The Lord God, that means. That means that God, at that first Christmas, kept a promise that he had made many, many years earlier through his prophets in the Old Testament. A promise that's recorded in Matthew's Gospel, where we read Matthew 1:23, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means "God with us." God is not a distant God. God loves us. God has drawn near to us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Perhaps you can identify with the words of the song that Sting wrote probably about 30 years ago, "Oh My God." He wrote, "Everyone I know is lonely, and God so far away, and my heart belongs to no one. So now sometimes I pray, please take the space between us and fill it up some way." And on the first Christmas day, that is exactly what God did. He took away the space between us and he filled it up. There may be a lot we still don't understand about the world and about the suffering in it. But Christmas means we can be sure that God is not indifferent to all that goes on in our world. He didn't merely send a text message, "Sorry to hear your news, hope you'll be feeling better soon." He got involved by sending his son to be born on earth. And down here, as Stephen already prayed at the beginning of the service, Jesus didn't live a cocooned existence. He wasn't waited on hand and foot in a palace. His first home was a manger, not a mansion. He rode on a donkey, not in a chariot. He was lifted onto a cross, not up onto a throne. Christmas tells us that God loves us so much that he sent his son to our planet in the middle of our suffering. Christmas is joyful because God really cares. So Christmas is historical. It really happened. It's joyful. It tells us God cares. He's come. He's got involved. But if God's come into our world, how does that help us? What's he done for us? Well, that brings me to the third and final word. Christmas is essential. The angels announced to the shepherds, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior. Jesus didn't just come to earth to show that God loves us in some vague way. I'm with you. I'm alongside you. I feel your pain. Jesus came to earth to mount a rescue mission. He came as a Savior. But to save us from what? Well, in Matthew's Gospel, the angel explains to Joseph that Mary's baby will be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now, what is sin? I think a lot of people assume that sin is doing something that's really bad. Being a murderer. Being a rapist. Being a paedophile. That's sin. Well, I'm not like that. Therefore, I'm not a sinner. I don't need a savior. But sin is much more than that. Sin is about our attitude to God, and it's a problem we all have. Let me tell you a story to illustrate it. There was a little boy who desperately wanted to play the part of Joseph in the school nativity play. But instead, he was chosen to play the pretty minor part of the innkeeper. He sulked. He waited for a suitable moment to take his revenge. And on the night of the play, with the school hall packed with the teachers and with the proud parents and the grannies and grandpas, as it came to the climax, the highlight of the show, Mary and Joseph come to him and deliver the classic line, "Is there any room in the inn?" But instead of saying no and offering them the stable, he saw the opportunity to get center stage and to steal the show. And so with a broad smile, he said, "Yeah, plenty of room. Come on in." And the whole production descended into chaos. Now, the point is, there's something of that boy in all of us. If all the world's a stage, as somebody else said, then God, our creator, wrote the play. He designed the set. He is the lead actor. He's the producer as well. But we're not happy with the part he's given us, because that involves living in grateful, trusting submission to him. It doesn't give us the prominence we think we deserve. So we sulk. We ignore the script. We write our own lines. With God given a best, a minor part, and with ourselves playing the lead. The result? Our lives and our world, like that nativity play, descend into chaos. See, that's what sin is. Sin is rejecting God's authority and living in his world as though we're free to do what we think is right. Now, God could have turned his back on us, but the message of Christmas is that he sent his own son down to earth, born as a man, to come and save us, to rescue us. How does a baby in a manger rescue us? Well, God's justice demands we are punished. God's love longs to forgive us. And God's solution was that his son should become, yes, a baby, but grow to be a man and to live a perfect life. Jesus was the only one who kept the script. Jesus is the only one who ever lived a perfect life and didn't deserve the punishment of death and separation from God. But at the age of 33, having lived that perfect life, he offered it as a sacrifice on the cross. He took the punishment we deserved so that we might be forgiven. That is why Christmas is essential, because it provides the only way that we can find forgiveness and the only way we can find a home in heaven when we die. Christmas is essential. It really matters. So if you want to receive God's Christmas gift and know the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and the joy that brings, the reality of forgiveness, the hope of heaven, then talk to God. Pray. Tell him this Christmas time that you believe that Christmas is historical, that his son truly did come down to earth. Tell him that you believe that Christmas is joyful, that his son came down to earth because he cares for us. Tell him that you believe that Christmas is essential for you. You believe that Jesus came to make a way for you to be saved. And yes, God, I need to be saved because I've tried to rewrite the script. And I believe Jesus died to save me. Ask Jesus to forgive you and be your Lord. That's my Christmas message to you. Christmas in three words: historical, joyful, essential. I got the idea from a little booklet that I've got a load of copies of. I want to give everyone a copy as they go out because I want you to remember this message. Because if you receive it, if you believe it, if you ask Jesus to be your Savior, then it will be the best Christmas present of all. Let's pray.